Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, Mr. Sunday Movies, also with me as always my co-host, Nick Mason.
Correct, he did it.
I was waiting for you to say it.
Oh.
Because I thought, why do I have to introduce you? That sounded like it's a burden. It's not, it's an honour.
Great.
But I mean, maybe you...
Well, if you could then instead open with, it's an honour to introduce.
Okay, yeah, I could do that.
That would be great, fantastic. Now, just before we started, you just returned a text and I noticed... Once again, your typing noises are still on your phone. You are the one remaining human alive to have the typing noises still on your phone.
I don't know. It's reassuring because I know it's typing.
What? You're looking at it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm.
I'm sure there's a way to turn it off too.
Mm.
Is there?
Yes. Okay, everybody else in the world has successfully done so, yes.
Oh, well, maybe one day.
Yeah.
I'll see. Mm. I'll live that dream one day. Speaking of living dreams.
Oh, yes.
But then dying.
Oh.
After completing many dreams.
Ooh.
Christopher Lee, deceased at 93.
93 he died. Yeah, yeah, that's very sad.
Bloody hell, it is. I mean, he is 93.
Yeah.
So it's a great innings.
Had a very good innings.
You know, what a great contribution.
Count Dooku.
Yes.
Other stuff. Count Doesn't Duke. Matter.
That's all that matters. Dracula.
Yep.
Lord of the
and
Rings.
And probably Abraham Van Helsing.
Yeah.
I think it was both sides of that coin.
He was Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
Well, he must have been. He would have been.
He was bored of the rings.
Boy, was he. No, he was a massive Tolkien fan.
There you go.
I think Tolkien even wanted him to play Gandalf. Like, it was like, that's the dream to get.
But then he's got an evil face.
He's got an evil face, so exactly. Scaramungo.
Yeah.
Scaramungo from Bond.
Scaramanga, yes.
That's him, yeah. I think that's not a great movie, Man with the Golden Gun.
No.
But that end sequence with Christopher Lee is totally amazing.
In the weird mirror world.
Yeah, in the weird mirror world. Yeah. I saw a quote from him, and you know you see quotes of people on Facebook, so you don't actually know whether it's really them that said it.
Correct.
But it was something along the lines of, you know, even if you're in bad movies, doesn't mean you have to be bad in it.
Right.
And that can be said of him for all of his roles. I mean, you look at Count Dooku. Exactly. Like, he's really good in that role.
He's doing the best he can.
With that weird, vague...
And I assume they had to swap him out every 30 seconds for a stunt double so that the double
CGI
could do a flip.
Head.
CGI head. Exactly. He doesn't know what's happening, but he performed admirably.
Boy, did he. Tom, the official Dark Lord of the Sith.
Released 4 albums.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Including Christopher Lee sings at Devils, Rogues, and Other Villains. Oh, the Ballad of Count Dooku. Do you remember that? That was before that.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
But this is from Tom, the official Dark Lord of the Sith of the podcast. Hey, Nick and Mason. I was ahead of the news of Christopher Lee's passing, and my Facebook page was flooded with facts about his life. There's a long list, so I'll paraphrase quickly. He was in the precursor to the SAS, the Long Range Desert Patrol Group. He was a Nazi hunter. This is like real life, by the way.
This
is not just a movie Nazi hunter. He appeared in more sword fights than any other actor ever. He released a heavy metal album.
Wait, did the lightsaber battle?
He still
push him
did,
over the
like,
edge.
He may have.
Because what if it was on the fence? Like, he was neck and neck with somebody else, and then he was like, oh, "This will count, lightsaber battle."
I think that counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, no,
really.
I'm gonna say it doesn't count. Yeah,
in your face, Christopher Lee.
Yeah, in your face, Christopher.
Yeah. Yeah. He released a heavy metal album at the age of 88.
Wow.
And he absolutely could definitively destroy 90% of men.
I believe that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sad to see him go, but what a legacy. Good on him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. More news?
No, that's all we need.
Okay.
No, I could give us more news.
Sad news.
I think we should point out, well, this isn't sad news. Last week,
yeah.
Because we have a good track record of putting out, we're a finger on the pulse with all the Shia LaBeouf news, right? But last week, Shia LaBeouf had some sort of attention-grabbing situation happen where he did an experiment. He sort of did a rant about achieving your dreams or whatever in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
Clearly intending for people to Photoshop stuff in
and
make it a spectacle.
And there's some good stuff from it.
Yeah.
But
you know what? I'm not giving him the satisfaction, quite frankly.
Yeah, you're right. That very much was that. And maybe that's why that didn't come up. Maybe it's because
we forgot about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way.
Mm.
Pick your poison. James Cameron.
Yes.
Has come out and endorsed Terminator Genisys.
I saw that, yeah.
Considering it the third film in the series.
In your face, whoever directed.
Jonathan Mostow.
Both of them?
No, McGee did four.
McGee!
Yeah.
In your face, McGee.
Well, I remember McGee came out and said, no, James Cameron endorsed Terminator Salvation.
Mm.
And James Cameron came out and said, let's ease up. And he basically said,
I saw it.
No, he said, I haven't seen it.
Oh.
It could be really good. It could be really bad.
Right.
I don't know.
So in this case, he has seen Genisys and
apparently,
he's in favor of it.
I feel like he's the kind of guy where he's got enough money where he wouldn't do that unless he thought it.
Yes. However,
yeah.
I would suggest two things.
Mm.
One, Genisys does contain elements of his Terminator movies.
Oh, okay, yep, yep.
So he probably would be on board.
Yeah, good point.
Like, because they're referencing his ones and nothing else.
Yeah.
And also,
that's why he loves Alien 4.
Yeah. And also, the second would be, is he a reliable gauge of whether something's good anymore?
That's a good question.
Because one and two, great.
Yeah.
Avatar, not great.
Did you like Titanic?
Oh, I'm not against it, I guess.
You didn't actively campaign against it.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, look, yeah, well, the last two movies he's done are Avatar in 2009 and Titanic in 1997.
And that one where he went down in his own private submarine
yes,
and recorded underwater stuff.
Yeah, The Abyss.
That's
not
the
that one.
But
yeah, look, I am looking forward to it.
Me too.
I don't know. We know the twist, but as pointed out on this podcast, all the other Terminator twists have been spoiled in the trailers.
Correct.
Before. So spoiler alert, there's Terminator 2 that Arnie's the good guy.
Yep.
And Terminator 4, the twist is that Sam Worthington is a Terminator man.
Sure.
And both of those things are revealed very early.
Mm.
So I guess they have a track record for that, don't they?
But we don't know what the twist of this twist is. We know it's John Connor is
the twist of the twist.
We know he's alive in the past that is also the present.
Yeah.
And he's some sort of robot cyborg man, but we don't know why.
Or how. Or if.
Mm.
Or when.
Yes.
Yeah, all those things.
Yeah. Is he alive? Is it the 80s or is it the modern day?
I think it switches to the modern day because Arnold Tear gets older.
Yeah.
Arnold Tear gets older?
Arnold Tear gets older, yeah.
Good. Mm. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Oh, yes.
Is to play Baron Mordo in Doctor Strange.
Love it.
Me too.
Yeah.
He was a really good bad guy in Serenity.
Yeah, the operative was
the
his
operative,
name, I think.
Yeah. He was really good in American Gangster. That movie that wasn't very good.
Oh, yes. I remember it, sort of.
Remember when people were saying, two of the greats finally together, Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe. Virtuosity. They were together in Virtuosity.
Right, that's right. They meant together again for the second. Together again for the first time.
Ooh, I don't like that.
First, yeah, no good.
Yeah. I think Virtuosity is an interesting movie.
It sure is.
That was in that weird Lawnmower Man.
Yeah.
Virtual reality era.
When filmmakers were like, people want to see insane, surreal situations where Russell Crowe's a nanotech man that can repair himself by eating glass.
That was the tagline for the movie. That's how they pitched it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. I like that. Good choice.
What else is we good? He was good in Children of Men.
He was good. Yeah, he was.
And that TV show that I can't remember the name of, that he was great in. Idris Elba was in Luther.
Yeah.
And Chiwetel was in...
it's a British one, I assume.
Yeah, it's a British, hang on.
Oh, he's good in 12 Years a Slave.
Yep. He was apparently good in Red Belt.
I haven't seen that. What's that?
It's like a
A guy who's okay at karate?
Yeah, it's pretty much.
He's on the way up.
Yeah. The Shadow Line, that's what it was called.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's great.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
British drama.
Speaking of Chiwetel, we just saw him in the trailer for The Martian.
We did, which we will talk about now.
Yeah, let's talk about it now. Yeah.
I mean, I had another piece of news first.
Does it really matter?
Well, I'm just going to, how's things going to segue? We'll find out, won't
we? Okay, great. Yeah, we'll riff a segue. That's how we'll do this.
So The Martian, I got some background on this if you want.
Yeah. It's a reboot of my favorite Martian.
Correct. Did you see that movie version of my favorite Martian?
No.
Or was it Jeff Daniels and Doc Brown?
Great.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Which one was The Martian?
Doc Brown.
Okay.
Obviously.
Sorry.
Idiot.
Sorry.
Christopher
Lloyd.
Lambert, yes. So, Lambert, sorry. Mm. Yeah, it got 18 million views on YouTube, the trailer, which is weird for a trailer of something which isn't like a sequel or
a reboot. A franchise comic book.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's based on the book The Martian, which I think I talked about on this show. It's about a man stranded on Mars, and it looks like it's pretty close. It's a good read. So basically what they did, because the reception,
Can I guess what they did?
Yes.
Is that Matt Damon had finished his shooting day on Interstellar. And they're like, do you want to just film another movie if you've got the suit on, the space suit? And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. And then what actually happened?
He looks very lean in this, though.
He didn't look as lean in Interstellar.
Lean and youthful. Yeah, he does. He looks great. He looks great.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they moved the release date forward to October 2nd from November 25th. Mm-hmm. And they shifted out the Victor Frankenstein movie.
Oh, yes.
To November 25th.
Is the Victor Frankenstein movie in the same franchise as Dracula Untold?
I really hope so.
Me too.
It's Daniel Radcliffe and Professor Xavier, not the old one, the young one, James McAvoy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So,
which one's the monster?
Neither of them? No,
surely.
Yeah, they're both very handsome.
Is the monster them standing on each other's, one on the other one's shoulders, they're wearing a trench coat?
Yes. Because
that would make more sense.
That would, Daniel Radcliffe is Igor.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that McAvoy is Frankenstein.
Right.
Not the monster, the man. Because a lot of people don't know, but the werewolf was actually Dr. Frankenstein. Anyway,
ultimately is anybody who points that out in a conversation.
I know, right? Isn't that so annoying when people do that? Mm. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
No, let's not move on. It gives a lot away of the movie, don't you think?
Yeah, it kind of does. We know exactly what the dilemma is.
Yep.
We know that he eventually gets a message through to... Because he's a man stranded on Mars. His crewmates have left.
Yes.
And they assume he's died in an accident.
Yep.
And then he gets a message to them.
Yep.
They know that they're breaking NASA's rules by going back to rescue him.
Yep.
They decide to do it anyway.
Correct.
It's got...
He has to science the shit out of stuff.
He's got to do some science.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, it looks good. Ridley Scott makes some good movies and some not as good movies.
He sure
movies.
Does. Yep.
But this looks like a good one.
It's a real mixed bag.
I mean, Prometheus looked like a good one.
It's got Kristen Wiig in it.
Yeah.
Once again, it's got Jeff Daniels in it.
Yeah.
Who is my favourite Martian. He's in it. What a twist. I'm just looking at the cast list.
Jessica Chastain.
Sean Bean.
Yeah, you don't see him in the trailer.
Yeah.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Donald Glover.
Kate Mara, who has just freshly gotten out of a spacesuit in Fantastic Four.
Correct.
Which we'll see at some point.
And back
probably.
Into another spacesuit.
Correct.
Spacesuits.
Yeah.
Is it we're going to see a resurgence of sci-fi? It seems that way.
Of just straight up sci-fi, not...
Straight up?
Straight up sci-fi, not like superhero sci-fi.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I hope so, man.
Mm.
I bloody hope so.
But isn't just regular sci-fi really boring?
That's a good point.
It's a good point,
Do you
isn't
remember
it?
In the 90s, there were two Mars movies. There was Mission to Mars
and Mars Attacks.
There was three Mars movies.
Correct.
Mission to Mars and Red Planet?
Yes.
And Mission to Mars was like a slow, boring, like... psychological drama that ended with Gary Sinise meeting holographic aliens and then flying off to another part of space.
That's right.
And Red Planet was Val Kilmer running away from a robot.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
So what you're saying is, I hope we go back to that era of Val Kilmer running away from robots.
And also Ghosts of Mars. Four Mars movies.
Here we go, yep.
What's your favourite Mars movie? It's Total Recall, obviously. But what's your favourite Mars movie?
Nah, it's Total Recall.
Yeah, it is. Not the reboot, which they don't go to Mars.
They don't, yeah.
Which is more accurate to the book.
Correct.
Anyway, but it's still shit. Chris Hemsworth.
Wow, subtle dig at Total Recall reboot. Don't you think Total Recall reboot suffered enough, mate? You get a little passive-aggressive dig in there and then switch to the next bit of news so they can't
Rebut?
So, yeah, so they can't rebut, so yeah. Colin Farrell can't call us up and be like, come on.
I like Colin Farrell, but make a good movie. So yeah, can you name a good Colin Farrell movie, except for Minority Report, which is barely in
Phone Booth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Quick, right?
Okay, last 10 years.
Yeah, oh. No.
Phone Booth's...
Wait, in Bruges.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah! Yeah,
okay, you're right, you got me. What I was going to say is he's a good actor, but he's not in good stuff. But I would say he's generally not in good stuff.
No, that's fair
enough. He's done some good stuff.
Yeah, he's done some good stuff.
Yeah.
If you said...
In Bruges is one of my favourite movies, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have bloody picked that.
But I mean, if you'd said, if you'd counted with, if you'd called my bluff and said, can you name a second one in the last 10 years? I could not. So...
You could have said Daredevil.
No, I couldn't.
I wouldn't have been Tell Us 10 Years either.
Yeah.
Two things. There we go. So, Chris Hemsworth has been cast in the new Ghostbusters movie.
As the receptionist. Great. I love it.
I suggest to people going to any website that has put this news and just read the comments.
Really?
Just go through the comments. So what was the name of the receptionist in the first Ghostbusters?
Janine.
Yeah. So he's the Janine, basically.
He's the Janine, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
People do not like this.
Really? Okay.
Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised, but it's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's cool.
He's cool. Yeah. Do you think he's got good comedic chops?
He's pretty good as Thor. Like,
yeah.
It's
true.
He's got he's got good timing.
He's pretty sharp.
It might be editing, but
Yeah, it's fair. Uh-huh. He's in the Griswold movie, the new Vacation movie as well. So yeah, we'll see his chops then, won't we?
Yeah, we'll definitely see his chops.
Australian who hasn't shown his
chops.
Mm-hmm. No, his comedy chops. Eric Banner.
Yeah, who started out as a stand-up comic.
Yeah, and He's got a lot of, I remember them being really funny skits, but he hasn't really done any comedies. He did Funny People, but he's not particularly funny in that.
That's ironic.
Isn't it?
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I'd like to see him do something comedic, but
yeah.
I don't know. Also, I don't know if he could do it in an American accent either.
Yeah, and I don't know if the audience would buy him as a comedic force.
Yeah.
Really.
See, I still see him as Poyter.
Yeah, Poyter. Sure, yeah.
Or Ray Martin, but if you're from anywhere but Australia, you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So great, awesome, whatever. I hope it's good, but if it's not good, doesn't matter.
Yep.
So there was a rumor also floated this week that, you know how Marvel aren't going to Comic-Con?
Yes, they're going to have their own little thing.
Yeah, well, they're doing, I think that Disney are having an Expo D3 or something.
Okay.
Like 3 weeks later.
Right.
So
I hope it's called D3, because it's 3 weeks later. And then the logo is just Mickey Mouse giving the finger to Comic-Con.
Behind a poster of the Mighty Ducks 3.
Yes.
D3. What do you think? Rumored? What do you think about that rumor? They were scared of DC blowing them out of the water.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly
what unlikely.
Yeah. Also, James Gunn said this
I really hope that DC's one movie this year, next year, doesn't blow our entire slate and multiple phases of movies, Marvel movies, out of the water. I'm afraid. I'm quaking. I'm quaking in my boots.
I think, James Gunn said this months ago, 6 months ago, that he doesn't think they're going. Like, he just casually said it on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
But I think probably the main reason they're not doing it is because they're stepping back for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're both owned by Disney. And you're just stepping on yourself.
Right, right.
If you're doing Star Wars and Disney. So I think they're going to push Star Wars in a big way.
Mm.
And the two big ones will be DC movies and Star Wars. And we'll judge, Mason.
Oh, we will.
Who we think is movies.
Mm.
Last bit of news.
I'm ready.
John Bernthal from The Walking Dead.
Oh, yes.
He's to play the Punisher.
Oh,
In Daredevil Season 2.
Mm.
Which is very exciting.
Yes.
You haven't watched a lot of The Walking Dead.
No.
Not a great show.
First 10 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
He's good in it.
There was a lady with no face or something.
Yes, there was.
Oh, no legs. I can't remember.
No face, no legs.
Right.
So he's going to be rolling up. People are speculating he could be a villain initially or even for the whole season. He could be an ally from the start, though I doubt it because they punch each other a lot in the comics.
Yeah, I'm going to say, oh boy.
Because he's also trying to clean up the streets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But who's going to do it more?
That's a really good question.
Probably the Punisher.
Because, we're going to have to see Daredevil make an arbitrary, line in the sand of killing people and not killing people or whatever.
Yeah.
Or did Daredevil kill some people in... I mean, he pulped some people.
He threw that guy off the balcony into the dumpster.
Yeah.
But I don't think that killed him.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't kill the kingpin either.
No, okay.
He
all right.
Punched so many. Oh, he sort of killed that ninja.
Yeah.
He lit that ninja on fire.
Correct. See, there we go. So yep. He's going to have to be like, listen, the Punisher.
Yeah.
I'm okay with you lighting people, with me lighting people on fire specifically, with the intent to kill them, but you can't kill people with guns that have been designed specifically for that purpose.
Exactly.
Because it's not the hero's way.
But I mean, there's a difference between lighting a guy on fire who's trying to stab you and walking to into a room and shooting like 50 people.
I've never seen that distinction.
That's probably true, actually, now that you mention it.
Anyway, it's going to be good.
I'm just excited to see The Punisher. And this could very well spin off into his own
Netflix series.
Netflix series or maybe, you know, eventually
or
movie.
A bad network TV series, I hope.
That's the dream, isn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's the news for this week. You got any other news? That's anything happening in your life? Anything exciting?
Yeah.
You had a good week?
Pretty good, yeah. Yeah, nice.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Jurassic World.
Oh, that happened. I saw that. Yes.
Man. Now, they thought this was going to make $120 million US, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is great. Well, it made $83 million opening day on Friday, which means it's more likely to hit like $180 million.
Good.
Which is crazy money. Yeah. I think people kind of underestimated how much people like Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody I know has either seen it or wants to go see it. Like, regardless of what people are saying about
it. Yeah, totally, yeah.
So what we're going to do is we do it every week, except when we talk about Entourage, when we just spoiled it. By the way, we got no people complaining about how we ripped through Entourage.
Nice.
I think about one person's like, I like the show, but I enjoyed how you hate it so much. So we'll do non-spoilers and then we'll say spoilers.
Yep.
What did you think of it?
I liked it a lot.
Interesting.
Because as we know from the internet,
yes,
A lot of people have been quite down on it, I think.
Okay, yeah.
A lot of people have been...
I'd say it's more positive than negative, but it's pretty divisive.
It has been very divisive. Mm. Uh-huh. But again, as you may know, or as listeners may know if they've listened to our Jurassic Park commentary,
yes,
I don't have any particular love for the original Jurassic Park. I don't hate it.
Yeah, no.
It's fine. It's a movie I saw once. Twice now, because I watched it once when I was a kid and I watched it a second time when we did the commentary.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Movie you've seen twice.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I really like this one.
Yep. See, I went in, I was really tired, and I was on my own.
Of dinosaurs?
Yeah, just in general. Yeah.
Completely alone?
I was. And there were people dressed up as Alan Grant and whatever.
Wow.
And I'm just like...
Did you see a special
session? Yeah, I did. I saw like an earlier one. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I don't want to be here. I hate this. I just want to go home.
And you were like, I feel so alone despite the fact that I'm also dressed in big baggy khaki chinos and a denim shirt and a red bandana.
That's what
I
said.
How can I be so alone?
Yeah. But no, I ended up really enjoying it. Look, I don't think it's perfect by any stretch, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you weren't obviously expecting anything going in. You were like, this will also be a movie I see.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see it on the big screen, on an IMAX or something?
Regular screen.
Regular screen.
Regular screen.
Yeah, yeah. So do we want to talk stories first? The story is first?
Yes.
And then we'll talk about other things.
Sure, stories and then other things. So that's the way we do it.
So this pretty much ignores 2 and 3. There's little nods to it, but not really. It's basically 22 years after the first Jurassic Park.
Uh-huh.
They've now...
Hammond is dead.
Hammond is dead. They've got a new Hammond who's got the philosophy of Hammond.
Sure.
But he's not as Hammond as Hammond.
He's not as Hammondy, you're right. Exactly, yeah.
So basically, this is now a fully fledged and running theme park. It looks like it's been out for maybe 4 or 5 years.
Something like that, yeah.
People are kind of getting sick of dinosaurs. It's still amazing. People are still liking it, but it's still, they have to kind of keep upping it every year as to new attractions to get people in.
So they're breeding new dinosaurs.
Breeding new dinosaurs.
The original had 8 breeds of dinosaurs. This one has 20-something.
So 20-odd, yeah.
Yeah, huh?
And they end up genetically engineering a very dangerous brand new dinosaur.
Sure.
Called the Indominus Rex.
Yes.
And that's Latin for something, probably.
And big ol' Rex.
Yep. And then from there, chaos ensues. It gets out, and there's a whole bloody Jurassic World, isn't there?
It's a real Jurassic World in this situation, yeah.
It's not very complex, the story, but it works.
No, there's a few different players in it.
Yep.
There's
a kind of a subplot, which is sort of a spoiler, so we might wait on that.
But it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, I guess
we'll
so.
Get to it later.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's quite straightforward.
Yep.
You know what's happening?
Running, shouting, screaming dinosaurs. Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't a direct carbon copy of the first one.
No, it wasn't. Speaking of, though, there were a lot of nods to the first one.
Yes.
Did you find that a bit distracting?
No.
Because a lot of people, I didn't find it either. I enjoyed the nods.
Me too,
A lot of people were like, that's a bit heavy-handed. And maybe it was, but I didn't.
Give me an example.
You see the night vision goggles.
Oh, yes.
You see the banner. The Jurassic Park when dinosaurs
one
were
of the characters is literally wearing a Jurassic Park promotional t-shirt.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, subtle things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I enjoyed that. I mean, so I was kind of okay with it. As far as the characters go, how did you find them?
They were at least two dimensional, right? They weren't great. There was
yeah.
What? I guess people who were down on this were like, oh, there's no Alan Grant.
Jeff Goldblum.
There's no Jeff Goldblum. It's fine. You know what? They weren't 100% totally fully fleshed out, realized human beings in that movie either.
But I guess the difference between, I think, and I didn't mention this in my review and I probably should have, the difference between this one and Jurassic Park was a lot of those people feel more like real characters.
Right.
And these guys kind of feel more like archetypes.
Uh-huh.
Or, do you know what I mean? Or stereotypes.
There is there's Bryce Dallas Howard as the... She's an uptight businesswoman who hasn't had time for a family, and that makes her a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Whereas her sister, played by Judy Greer,
has
a family that she loves, except for the husband, because they're probably divorcing.
And that's a little bit sad also.
It's a little bit sad also. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Everybody wants what the other person wants or something.
Yes, exactly.
Grass is greener.
And we've got what's his face?
Christopher Pratt.
Yeah, Christopher Pratt as no-nonsense... Little bit of nonsense, tough as nails, tells it like it is.
Yeah.
He's some sort of...
Dressed exactly like Han Solo.
Yep.
He is. Yeah.
Zookeeper, raptor trainer man.
And if only he'd just let her hair down and...
Precisely,
know,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He wore board shorts to their date or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. I've actually got somebody wrote in, I've got a name here, sorry. Alex wrote in and he and his girlfriend went and saw it and they couldn't get over how... Bryce Dallas Howard wore heels the entire movie.
That's
which
true,
is
she did.
Very distracting.
She didn't switch them out for boots. She could have. There's plenty of equipment on that island.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
It's especially distracting when she does something, you don't see her feet.
Right.
Like she'll go across grass or whatever. Uh-huh. And then later you'll see her and she's just in heels. And
it's right.
Like, but you were just in the paddock. Like,
it would be fine if she didn't do anything particularly athletic.
Okay, yeah.
And it would be fine if there was like a scene where she nearly dies because she's got high heels and she switches
her ankle.
Yeah, exactly. But to not mention at all, that was odd. Yeah,
yeah.
And but there's also a scene specifically where Chris Pratt's character mentions that she's wearing ridiculous shoes for this, and then it's never brought up again.
Yeah, you're right. It's odd. That's exactly it. That being said, I think everybody is good.
Yeah.
In what they are given.
The character, the two children are not as annoying.
Absolutely.
The child and the teenager are not as annoying as they could be.
So someone on Film Drunk said that kid who was in Iron Man 3 has a haircut like a stormtrooper's helmet.
Yeah, or a Lego man. Either of those. He's got Lego man hair.
I like both those guys. And the older one, he was in Kings of Summer, which is a great kind of coming of age.
Oh,
movie.
Great.
It's very, it's like the modern kind of Stand By Me.
Yeah, look, they hit all the beats.
Yeah.
They show up. They're sad that Bryce Dallas Howard's character can't personally escort them around
the world.
But yeah, because they haven't seen her in years. Yeah, who cares? She's just some random.
Exactly.
And Judy Greer is mad at that as well. I don't know. Hey, you know how you're the head of this enormous theme park?
You're the head of the Jurassic World.
The Jurassic World. Well, why can't you personally escort my kids or your nephews around?
That's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
It is a little.
Yeah, yeah. But they have a good cry about it, don't they?
I sure do.
The only returning character that's human, Henry Wu.
Played by B.D. Wong.
Who's great.
Of Law and Order fame.
And his character has definitely evolved, which we'll probably talk about more in spoilers. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because he has an extra arm this time.
Yeah.
He's got three arms.
Yeah. It's a chimp arm, though. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, genetics. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of them don't really seem like real people. Like,
that's fair.
Detective Gorin, that's not his name. Kingpin, that's also not his name.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah. Like, he's good, but he doesn't seem like a guy who would... do the things that he does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of an idiot.
Uh-huh.
What about the dinosaurs? I mean, that's what we're there for, isn't it, Mason?
Yeah, I think...
The Mosasaur isn't even a dinosaur, you idiot.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Is that the one in the water?
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, go on. I thought the CGI was varied.
Okay, yep.
I thought the Irex looked incredible.
Yep.
I thought some of the other
ones...
All
the money went into that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Some of the other ones, like, solid, but some are better than others.
Yeah. I think there was a fairly decent mix of CGI and puppets.
See, I didn't find that at all.
Really?
I thought there was too much CGI, yeah.
Okay. Mm. I think when they went to most of the close-ups...
Yeah.
Like, that was...
That's true, yeah.
That were decent.
But there weren't ever, like, in the first Jurassic Park in particular, the first one and two, they built like a whole T-Rex.
Right, okay.
And I feel like they didn't really, they probably had some heads.
Right, sure.
But that's pretty much all they kind of
did. Or some little arms.
Yeah, some little arms. Mm. But I don't feel like they did that for this.
Okay.
But, you know, they had like the Brachiosaurus or Brontosaurus, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody write in and tell me it's not a real dinosaur. Because as you pointed out,
yes,
Brontosaurus is a real
dinosaur. The Brontosaurus is back.
He's back.
In a big way.
Yeah.
But as they pointed out in this movie.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the other ones as well.
Mm. In the books, they do. I know what you're going to say.
They make no claim that these are accurate representations of what dinosaurs actually look like.
It's like, this is what people want to see, so this is what you get.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I liked that, though. It explains why the raptors aren't like 2 feet high with feathers and whatever.
Yeah.
No, I liked that a lot, that they're just filling in the gaps. Like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. Uh-huh. Like, I thought that was really, really cool. Uh-huh. And, you know.
They've always added frog DNA.
Always. I think they stopped doing that, though.
There's a little bit of frog DNA in the Indominus Rex.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because it can leap.
Because it can leap,
It's got that long frog tongue.
No, because it's got, we'll talk about it in spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Oh, we're talking about dinosaurs.
Let's start talking about. Do you find them particularly thrilling? Did they capture the awe and wonder that you felt when you watched Jurassic Park with me last week?
More so.
Yeah.
But these were better.
Okay, sure.
And there was more of them.
that is certainly
true.
And
they weren't as boring.
Look, a lot of people have said it doesn't capture the awe and wonder of the first.
Hmm.
Other people say it has.
I think they're saying, I don't want to paint too broad a brush here, but I'm gonna.
You're known for it.
Yeah, I know, it's great.
In your literal painting also.
Yeah, I love it.
Just slop
sometimes
it on.
Sometimes I paint a broad picture of me making broad generalizations about people. but I reckon a lot of these people saw the original when they were kids, and it was a moment that they really loved, and now they're going to this adults and going, where's the magic?
Yeah, you're right.
Now you know you're watching a movie.
Idiot.
Yeah, you idiots.
No such thing as magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I felt that it, there was the magic.
I thought it was pretty spectacular.
And I thought it did a really good balance of kind of people being disinterested with dinosaurs.
Right.
As you would be in this world where there's been dinosaurs for 15, 20 odd years.
Right.
So you're not going to be, and they even say they see a brachiosaur like they see an elephant's kids.
Correct.
You know? So no, I thought that balanced that really well. That Mosasaurus in particular, when it came out of the water, I was quite up close and it was like I had like a physical reaction.
Right.
I didn't like jump in my seat, but you know, you feel like...
You jumped in your seat. You jumped and you peed in your seat.
But you know how you just feel like...
You were like, what's that? Everybody run! Don't get in the water!
And yeah, like I felt like terror, like a slight bit of terror, which I don't really get. And I peed myself, which happens more than you'd think. So yeah, that was cool. And I also felt that for the Indominus Rex. Like that is a terrifying monster.
That was, really good.
Yeah. Maybe, I would say, maybe not more so than the T-Rex. Oh, maybe, because the original T-Rex wasn't as vicious for no reason.
Correct, yeah. Like, he just wanted to be more or less left alone.
Yeah.
And fed and then left alone.
Fed and then left alone. But this one was like Charles Bronson. No, Charles Manson mixed with Charles Bronson.
Wow. Don't get in that guy's way.
No.
Well, because Charles Manson was really insanely threatening, but he never really killed anyone.
No.
Charles Bronson killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that is a good... That's a. You thought that was a flawed metaphor.
No, I did not.
But it was, in fact, the best metaphor.
Solid as soon as I said it.
Yeah,
I knew it.
The T-Rex, you know... It explored and like chased people out of curiosity.
Yeah.
And ate them because it was hungry.
Yeah.
But the Indominus Rex is killing, as we see in the trailer, it's killing people for sport.
Yeah.
Or killing dinosaurs for sport and everything.
That's why it has a little tennis racket.
Yeah.
Sport. yeah. No, I liked it a lot. Mm. I thought it was a really, I think it's the best kind of villainous dinosaur they've introduced since the T-Rex.
Right.
I mean, the T-Rex isn't a villain, as we said.
Yeah.
It's more of a hero, actually. That's the way it's painted. I mean, at the end of the first Jurassic Park, it literally saves them.
Correct, yeah.
Somehow.
I think, here's something I went into the movie worrying about. Is
that all the dinosaurs.
That all the dinosaurs are going to come and get me while I'm asleep. But also that it's a, you know, this is a world where they're letting these dinosaurs run free.
Yeah.
And they're... Like, they've got no measures in place to fix that.
Yes.
And I think they did just... Like, I'm still a little bit on the fence about it, but I'm still just on the side of, oh, okay, well, they seem to have implants where they can't go past certain fences or there's an alert if they escape or anything like that. Like, I think... And I think we said this in the commentary for Jurassic Park. They really should get, like, some sort of internal implant.
Yeah.
Like, as we see in the trailer to this...
Yeah.
The Indominus Rex is a tracking implant.
Yep.
She knows that it's in there, so she tears it out.
Yep.
They really should have at birth, like, or some, you know, at the point where they're being put on the island, like a really deep implant.
Yeah.
That can track them, and it can switch them off.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a bomb. Like, that would be dangerous. But like either like some poison or like a sedative.
Just a cyanide capsule in the brain.
Cyanide capsule or like a massive electrical shock or something like that.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the... Yeah.
I think blow their legs off. Like their legs just fly off.
So at the height of the tourists, just blow their legs off with
a bomb. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they did, you know, there was enough in there for me to suspend disbelief and go, okay... Well, they've got implants. You can track them.
Yeah.
If they go past a certain fence, you know, there's an alert.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of, you know, it's fine. I'm okay with it.
Rhett's written in. He said, "You'd think I was going to say this later. You'd be thinking. I think at least one guy would go. Maybe protection would be useful in an amusement park full of fucking dinosaurs.
Yes.
Like more guys with guns.
Yeah.
Guards, security, and they. It's kind of implied that they have that.
Yep.
But they don't roll it out when they should.
Yeah, here's what I'm thinking. You give them all the implants.
Yeah,
you got a little RFID chip in them.
Yeah,
all the park rangers get Google Glass on an iPad.
Yeah,
and you just hold it up and you go, oh, that's a little red dot on the dinosaur you can see.
Yeah,
there's bloody dinosaur 101.
Yeah,
it's causing a bit of trouble. You just tap it on the screen and there's like a kill option.
Its legs fall off.
And its legs fall off. Exactly. Easy. You don't need guns.
And they're frogs, so they grow back probably. I don't know how frogs work.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my...
Look, you're right.
That's my hot take.
But at the same
on dinosaur park security.
Look, you'd make a wonderful young John Hammond.
Thank you.
That being said, what's a Jurassic Park if it doesn't go all Jurassic Park?
Exactly, yeah.
So you're saying basically it walks that line where there was just enough security in place, but you could see why it went south.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No point to any of that then, really, was there?
No.
I'm trying to think. What else have I got here? Yeah, captured the Warren Wonder. The action in general. A lot of running about. Chris Pratt looks good, doesn't he?
At running about, certainly.
He does that sweet baseball slide. It's in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. True,
he bloody... Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. Carries I'd do that. I'd
carries
get, like,
his little rifle.
He does.
For trying to kill an Indominus Rex.
Yeah. Or maybe it does something.
He shot it a lot. Spoiler alert.
Does he?
We'll get to it later.
Yeah, I can't even remember. When he did that slide, I'd be like, I'd do that. I got all rocks in my shoes.
Oh, yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little pebbles. That's no good. Mm. I also want to talk about that the escape, but we'll talk about that in spoilers.
Okay.
I don't know. I think we should maybe move to spoilers.
Okay.
Though.
I'm going to say best movie ever.
Definitely.
I don't care what the haters think.
Yeah. Look, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
I can understand why you might not like it as much as the first for either nostalgia reasons or because the characters aren't as fleshed out.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's just a good, fun movie.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I think kids seeing it these days will have that same sense of wonder. I don't think the awe and wonder people of our generation had when they saw the first one.
Yeah.
I reckon kids these days are going to have it.
Absolutely.
Kids these days.
I know, right?
Kids, I'm thinking they're going to have the same thing.
Kids and their Pokemons and their 3DSs.
Yeah.
I feel like as well, this is the kind of movie you can take a kid to and they're not going to have like weird psychological scars from it because it's not like a ghost or something that's going to come and get them in the night.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You have to go to Jurassic World to get attacked by dinosaurs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Except for those pterodactyls.
Yeah, they'll come to you.
Yeah.
They'll come right up.
Yeah.
I know, because I was pretty young when I saw the first one. And it is scary in parts, but it's not, you don't walk out like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I did in this one.
Mm.
Spoilers. Oh, yeah. Best movie ever.
Best movie ever. Yeah. Enjoyed it a lot.
Xavier also wanted to know how we felt about the throwbacks. We said they were okay, didn't we?
I kind of liked them.
There you go, Xavier.
And I like the fact that they... Were we in spoilers now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I like the fact that they wired up one of the old Jurassic Park trucks to drive around in, but it wasn't a big part of the...
Yeah.
Like, they weren't the cavalry in an old Jurassic Park truck.
Okay.
Like, we've saved the day with this old throwback stuff kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It was just there and they needed a car, so they got it.
I mean, that's impossible.
Yeah.
That being said, that was... I liked that. Mm-hmm. And Isaac wants to know, do you think the new Jurassic World is a sequel we've wanted to Jurassic Park?
I wanted this, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and my opinion is all that matters.
That's true. You saw... No, you didn't see 3, did you?
No.
But you saw 2?
Can't remember.
Yeah. I think it's too early to tell whether it's better than 2 for me. A lot of people don't like 2. I think 2's got a lot of good stuff in it.
Uh-huh.
But it's one of these things I'll have to see how it...
Okay.
It's a sequel that now...
So you're saying you're wondering if it's better than 2?
Yeah.
So you're saying this is not as good as 1?
Wrong!
It's better than 1.
Look, I can't... I don't think I can say it's better because this doesn't work without 1.
Uh-huh.
So, like, there's...
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, you're wrong!
Oh, boo. They got twisted around in a way I didn't like.
It's hard. They're different.
Mm.
Nothing... Things don't necessarily have to be better or worse, but I guess if I had to pick one, I'd say, one's probably better because it's more pioneering, I guess.
Mm, yeah.
In the same way that Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 3.
Sure. Precisely.
Now, spoilers, speaking of,
yep.
I wanted to know what you thought of the minigun, because I know you're a big minigun aficionado.
Love a good minigun.
You do, but you also hate a bad minigun.
I hate a bad minigun, you're right. Oh, it's minigun talk, here we go. So, they mount it in new John Hammond's helicopter.
Yes.
They have it for no particular reason.
It's not on the back of anything.
It's not on the back of a truck or anything. They just have one, just in case they need a minigun someone, I guess. But I guess maybe if you buy like all your, like if you buy all your guns from the one supplier, if you buy $500,000 worth of guns, maybe they're just like, oh, we'll just throw in a minigun.
Have a minigun.
Have fun with it. So no, they mount it in the helicopter.
Somehow.
But then the guy who is operating it is not trained in its use from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Neither of the two like military guys And new John Hammond is not good at flying a helicopter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not only that, that's not a military helicopter.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can put like a military grade minigun in a commercial helicopter.
Right.
And that's not going to just rattle the whole thing to the ground.
Yeah. But you know what? Good minigun, I thought. Good. It blew up some foliage.
Did it have real shells?
I think it did, yeah.
Good.
It looked,
and if it didn't, well done.
Good CGI, if not.
Because you hate the minigun in Expendables 3.
Correct.
Because of its weird CGI shells.
Weird CGI minigun. Yep, and it just blew up some foliage Predator style, which is always good.
What's the best minigun in a movie? We should do an episode on miniguns.
The Winter Soldier one's pretty good, but it's not a classic minigun. It's like a little stubby one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they've clearly built it for the movie. It's like a shield, you know, villain, you know, Hydra one or whatever.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 probably. Although he doesn't kill a lot of people, but he destroys, in fact, he kills 0.0
correct
people. But he does, like you see it, do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Like a lot of, in a lot of movies with miniguns,
yeah,
they don't do a lot.
Okay.
Like they just sprayed wildly kind of thing.
Like Predator.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a good minigun.
Good minigun, yeah. That's the same minigun from Terminator 2.
Is it really?
I don't know if it's literally the same one, but probably.
Okay.
Same model is what I'm saying.
Okay, right.
Anyway, yeah, look real nice.
Yeah, yeah, good. Good, awesome. So the best minigun is Terminator 2 minigun.
I think so, yeah. Mm. Guys, email in. Actually, don't email in. Tweet me at Wikipedia Brown.
Best minigun.
Best minigun, if you could.
Is the gun in Samuel L. Jackson's shield car a minigun or a machine gun?
It's a machine gun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So don't tweet that one.
Don't tweet that one. Don't I already be an know. Idiot. It's already been dismissed. Yeah. That is also a gun that he has for no reason unless he wants to shoot people who are in his car or his windows have already been blown out.
Correct. I'm sure he could roll them down if he has to.
I guess so.
But also, you can't shoot to your right with that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Mm.
That's why it's not a good minigun.
Mm.
For that reason alone. Yeah, yeah. And because it's literally not a minigun.
Well, he could because they're on the other side in America.
No, if he's here.
Doesn't matter. Let's move on.
He has to turn it like this.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good point.
It'd be difficult.
It would be difficult, yeah.
Can we talk about the Indominus Rex and its origins?
Yes.
What'd you think of that? Now they were like, we can't tell you what's in it for whatever reason. Just trust us.
I mean, it looks terrifying.
It's very dangerous.
But we're not going to tell you. But I guess they would be like, well, what could possibly be in it? I guess. Like, they're like, how bad could it be? We've had a T-Rex.
I thought it was like classified.
Yeah.
That was my understanding of it. Because they went to Henry Wu and they're like, what's up,
yeah,
man?
But what I'm saying is, I think the reason they took it in at the park is because they're like, well, how bad could it be?
Yeah, oh,
like,
yeah,
we've
definitely
seen acid, we've seen the poison spitting ones.
Yeah.
We've seen the T-Rex. What else could it get?
Yeah.
They didn't factor in that it's got a cloaking device and it can turn invisible to heat sensors and whatever. So that's why it's got the frog DNA.
Oh,
that's not for that reason.
Yeah, yeah.
The frog DNA is in there.
Yeah.
And as a result, it can like dissipate its thermal signature or whatever, so you can't see it.
I loved that escape.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really clever. And it also, it's a throwback to the, because it's revealed later that it's got raptor DNA.
Yeah.
Which is fairly evident.
Because it looks like a scaled up raptor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks exactly like a scaled up raptor.
It tricks them the same way that the raptors trick Muldoon.
Yes.
In the first one. Uh-huh. Creates a diversion. You come in close. Around.
Yeah.
Then it comes in for the kill.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why they went in that cage.
No, absolutely
that,
not.
That blew my mind.
Here's what you do, is you go up the top and you just fire a minigun wildly through all the foliage, right?
Yeah.
And you got to get it eventually. Something. You're like, yeah, I don't know. Or if it's escaped,
yeah,
you kill all the foliage.
Yeah.
Like, or you burn it or whatever and just make absolutely sure it's not still
there. Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I'm a really good...
You're a good young John Hammond.
I'm a good young John Hammond, so I would know, but these guys clearly not.
Yeah. Mm. And it's very surprising to me that Chris Pratt would have gone in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you think he would have at least checked this tracker, which they eventually did. But that's first thing. Where is it?
Right.
And I know the cell phones were cutting out this whole movie for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's step one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that dude opens the door and it's on.
Oh,
and
boy,
it's bloody on. Uh-huh. And then he does his little slide.
Slide, he gets some gravel in his boots. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like also the reveal? Yeah, like where the raptors turned?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I was a little bit on the fence of like, oh, they're communicating.
Yeah, yeah.
How... The series of clicks and whistles?
Because it hasn't spoken to anybody. I liked the fact that it wasn't just because it was bred to be a monster. They just kept it in this pen and not socialized it.
Right.
So it was just...
Freaking out,
just freaking out, yeah. Right. And then that's what happens if you do that to like a kid.
Sure.
I assume.
Right.
so you were like, how can it talk or whatever? Or,
yeah. Not even talk, but had the raptors... How did they communicate in the other movies?
Was it a series of hoots and hollers.
Really?
No.
Like that.
Yeah,
surely not.
Absolutely.
Huh.
Mm, definitely.
I'm thinking really of Chewbacca.
I am thinking of that. Mm. But that's more in 3. They do a lot of that in 3.
Okay, right. But, then it makes sense then. Okay, fine. Mm,
but then again, these aren't really They don't mention 2 and 3, as I said.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm always find it odd when, like, creatures without the capacity for speech communicate with noises. Like,
it's the animal kingdom, man. Fine. If you can believe that a dinosaur can go camouflage like a frog or something.
I liked it when it turned white. I thought that was fun.
That was cool. Yeah. I love that effect, actually, when they go to get it. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first one, the guy that attacks the soldiers, that's the new Shredder. But you see it slowly unmask.
Yeah,
I thought that was a very, very cool effect. Yeah.
And it wasn't like cloaking device. It was just kind of loop.
It was like a shifting, like a ripple kind of almost. Yeah, that was very cool. What about the whole subplot of training raptors to be better than drones or something?
I think the whole thing was unnecessary.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
There were a lot of people in this movie, I felt, that were responsible for the deaths of a lot of other people. Yes. Like, otherwise good people who were like, oh, if you hadn't done that, other people would be alive right now.
Yeah.
Like, the two kids were responsible for the death of that nanny woman.
Yep.
The British nanny woman.
She was always on her phone, though.
Yeah, exactly. But if they hadn't run off and she'd gone to find him, she'd probably still be alive.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Do you think that would have...
He trained those raptors.
Yes, he did. And I love how he was kind of like... Nah, man, they're not for the military. It's like, but you're hired specifically by the military to do this.
Yeah.
So surely you know that.
What did he train them for?
Catching pigs.
Just to respect one another, I guess. Yeah, that plot line was full of holes.
Yeah.
I like that B.D. Wong had gone mad, though.
That's what I was going to say. I really enjoyed that. Like, and maybe he was always like that, but I feel like... No, like something has happened. Like something's broken in his brain.
Right,
just gone like God mad, like mad with power.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And he was like, I created this. I'm the one behind it. You know, let's.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he got away. He scarped it off.
Yes.
With all the DNAs.
See, I was hoping that as I was coming out of this, because you just told me it's doing quite well.
Yeah.
I'm glad because do you think there'll be a sequel?
Definitely.
I want to be at a sequel because I want to see what else is in that vault.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
Because he was like, I don't want the government to get all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what other stuff?
Fair point.
Because if this one can cloak and whatever. Yeah.
But how
proper big arms. I'm doing the big arms.
He's doing big arms.
Yeah, and then what do the other ones do?
It could practically cartwheel.
Yeah.
But where do you go from that, though? Where do you go from there?
Maybe we'll get the dinosaur-human hybrids.
Do you want that?
Yes! Button? Now I do. Okay. Before I didn't, now I do.
I actually thought there was a chance that the twist in this was, because they were so secretive about what was in it, that it might have been slightly human. DNA. I thought there might have been a chance of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't do it, though.
I reckon they're going to do it in the next one.
I hope so.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
And they've got guns. Mini guns.
For arms?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Did you like there's an animal petting zoo, but for dinosaurs?
Absolutely.
And the kids got to ride a triceratops?
Yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. That was super cool. Mm. And that's clearly an example of where they've tampered with those.
Right.
Like, I don't know whether they're supposed to be that big or they're all just baby ones or whatever.
I think those were baby ones.
But even then, they would have made them docile.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. I got the sense that they'd done that to, like, make them used to human contact.
Oh, okay.
So when they got bigger,
they
would still be friendly to people.
I still feel like, though, a lot of those herbivores, they just dumbed them right down or made them real docile.
Okay, yeah.
Because you're rolling a big glass ball with Jimmy Fallon's voice next to, like, a triceratops.
Which would enrage any animal, exactly. Let alone a giant dinosaur.
Like a triceratops, it's built for defense
and
attack, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Like... Mm. Like, if an Indominus Rex can break the glass, I'd imagine this tail of a Stegosaurus could also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also, the Ankylosaurus, my favorite dinosaur, finally made an appearance.
Takes a beating, though.
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
Did you know that was going to... I thought it was going to go for its belly, and I thought, well, that's going to be real gross.
Oh, yeah.
But it just breaks its neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, good to see them out there. The faves.
Why were they in the restricted zone?
Probably the clubs. The club tail.
I guess that's probably it, isn't it? It's
probably the club tail, yeah.
Club tails, man. Club tails, woo.
Former recommendation on the show, I recommended a podcast called Pop Quiz Hotshot.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a friend of mine does it, and it's like a, you know, it's a pop culture quiz show with comedians and stuff.
Yes.
Very creative and it's good fun.
Yeah.
He also does a podcast with his wife called It's a Duck Blur, which is where they break down episodes of DuckTales. So if you really love DuckTales, or if you don't, I don't know, well, listen to that. It's fun.
Yeah. Does that show hold up?
Who knows?
Who does know?
Yeah.
Not us. Mm. The kids subplot of the parents getting divorced and the weird out of nowhere cry.
Who cares? Yeah. In the bin.
I think he sold that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, it came out of nowhere.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the bin.
Mm-hmm.
Detective Gorin, why did he think it was okay to, do you think he was talking that raptor down at the end when it bit him in the arm?
I think he just panicked.
Mm.
I think he was a guy who, I reckon he was the backstory for that guy, if I had to guess,
yeah.
was a guy who was in the military very briefly.
Okay.
So he thinks he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
But then he moved to InGen.
Yeah.
And now he's all talk.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
when it finally came down to, you know, actually facing down against one of
his
these dinosaurs.
His dances with wolves moment.
Precisely. He just panicked.
He did not dance with no wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what was happening there.
Yeah. He was a bit of an idiot, wasn't he? Mm. So, yeah, because he was like, imagine how more effective is this than a drone strike?
Right.
I don't think that's true.
Sure. Like, yeah.
Just setting loose a wild dinosaur.
But at the same time, I was on his side initially when he's like, you've got to send the raptors out to track this thing down.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Because what else are they for
right now? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, this is going to kill everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he did that because he wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah, totally.
Obviously, but yeah, he was right.
But who wouldn't? I would.
Did you like how the raptors turned and then turned back?
No, I didn't 100% buy it.
Because they were like, we don't want to kill Chris Pratt. That's Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
See that slide?
I feel like that would have happened. Like that decision would have been made initially.
Okay.
And then I don't think they would have turned back.
But they didn't really go for him. They went for everybody else.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, okay.
Like they kind of ran around him.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean?
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think when it came down to the crunch, maybe.
Yeah.
They were like, crunch. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I think you've closed that loophole for me.
Thank
so.
You. You're Great. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the final fight, which people okay. say is like a mind-blowing finale to a movie.
Yeah.
You get the return of the classic T-Rex.
Yep.
He's back. She's back.
Yeah, the
Got
original.
The raptor scars uh-huh. down the side, yeah. which was uh-huh. pretty sweet.
Yep.
All CGI.
Yep.
I didn't think the T-Rex looked as good as the Indominus Rex.
CGI style.
Yeah.
I was okay with it.
Okay,
yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Follow up, something we did mention when we were talking about the characters earlier. I did like the character of the guy, the new Nedry.
Oh yeah.
With the Jurassic
Jake
Park
something.
The guy from New Girl.
Guy from New Girl.
Yeah, I thought he was great. In
yeah,
this.
He was good, wasn't he?
And I like the trope. There was, you know, the because a lot of people were like, oh, this, you know, the trope. The Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt, they don't get on, but blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I thought they, you know, that's neither here nor there really. But I did like the fact that the new girl guy was like. Someone's got to stay behind fix this. And he goes to kiss the other technician. Yeah. She's like, what a boyfriend. Why are you?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I don't talk about it because we're at work.
Yeah.
He's
good.
I very much liked that they brought the T-Rex back.
Yep.
But like I was going to say just a second ago, the only thing that would have made it better is if they'd been like, open gate 9, you've got to do this. And she'd opened the gate up and she'd thrown the flare. You know, she's got the flare or whatever. Yeah. And the T-Rex charges out and it's being ridden by Newman. He survived somehow. He's not dead. He's been alive in Jurassic Park.
And he's had a change of heart.
He's had a change of heart and he's a hero now.
Is he ripped?
He's whatever Wayne Knight is like now.
Okay.
I assume he's probably in better shape now.
He probably is in good shape. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think as well, that's a big moment for anybody who loves the first Jurassic Park.
So you're saying expectations. Maybe expectations are high for those people.
Yeah.
Like for me, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember the T-Rex. It was fine. In this, I'm like,
Nedry.
Oh, it's back. Yeah. It's fine again.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks pretty good. But yeah. I guess people are like...
No, people generally like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying if you haven't seen the first Jurassic Park,
yeah.
is that a big moment, the T-Rex coming out? Or are you just like, who cares? Not who cares, but like,
right.
you don't have that kind of attachment to it. It's like seeing the Millennium Falcon again, I guess.
Yeah,
or
like
old
because we only
Ford.
See the T... Yes. The T-Rex we only see very briefly.
Yeah.
Like it's a crowd of people are just sort of staring at it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not really... That's
it,
true.
It works because the first movie, obviously.
Yeah, that's true. Because otherwise... Because the T-Rex saves them from the raptors in the original.
Mm.
So we know that's going to happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you're right.
Mm.
Yeah, so otherwise it's just like, well, why did this happen?
Yeah. Did you like the team-up? The sweet raptor T-Rex team-up?
Yeah, kind of.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Not a lot of sense.
But it was cool.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a kind of an enemy, my enemy kind of situation?
I think it was more accident. Like, I think...
They were just...
I think everyone was just attacking everybody
just
else.
Just rolling.
I don't think it really mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel that kind of like when the T-Rex went down, you're like, oh, no.
Or yeah, so like, I was like, oh, no. Yeah. Do you think the T-Rex ultimately would have had any chance against that?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
It's too old and it hasn't got the instincts or the craziness factor.
No, it didn't have crazy strength in
it. You know what that is? That's old Rocky going up against Clubber Lang.
Sure, yep.
Like, in his prime Clubber Lang.
Right, right.
That's what that would have been. Except that raptor hadn't come in, over.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you like how the Mosasaur, which isn't a dinosaur, Mason...
God,
jumped in.
Sorry, all right.
Just came in. Yep. Like you saw that coming as soon as it was backed over the edge of the pool, I assume.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I loved that a lot. I thought that was a really good finale.
Everybody forgets about the Mosasaur.
Not me.
Yeah.
Did you?
No.
Well, no. and did you? I thought it was a bit kind of like how the raptor and the T-Rex are kind of like, all right.
Time to go then.
Like, is that, I guess? Okay.
I would assume that they would probably still fight.
Yeah.
Like the raptor and the T-Rex.
Or maybe
the
they're just like, oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, here we go.
That's tough. I think it'd be more like the T-Rex probably maybe raw and it kind of like, I'm out.
Scampers away, yeah.
Uh-huh. But no, there's one raptor left.
Yeah.
Just running around the island or whatever. Mm. Yeah. Mark from Canada.
Oh, yes.
Wants to know, what's up with all the product placement? Did you find it distracting?
And then I didn't see that much. I know the cars were Mercedes.
Yes. Yep. And then he's drinking a Coca-Cola.
Oh, he was drinking a Coca-Cola, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes, he
was. He's like, I got no time for you. I got to drink this refreshing Coca-Cola. Num, 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 num.
I
hope there's a deleted scene where it's just 5 minutes of him like, num, 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 num.
That's how he does his sweet slides.
Yeah.
He should only slide with a Coca-Cola in the head. Yeah. That would have been amazing. Yeah, but a lot of that product placement, the director said, was on purpose.
Right.
Like, you know, it's Indominus Rex brought to you by Verizon or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
Like, that's intentional.
Yeah.
But, like, the Mercedes and the Coca-Cola clearly are just flat-out product
placement. In the middle of the Jurassic, like, the main strip, there is a Margaritaville, which is the brand of restaurants from, like, Calypso singer Jimmy Buffett. And there's a big...
Why do you know that?
I'm a big fan of Jimmy Buffett.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Was he working the bar?
You don't see him.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, no, I thought it was okay. I was okay with it. It's just, they actually had this ridiculous Jurassic World featurette about that new Mercedes, and all the cast are like, they brought in the Mercedes and it was covered up and nobody's seen this Mercedes before. And it was incredible. If that was me, I mean, I've said this before, I don't give a shit about cars.
Yeah.
But like, I'd find it very difficult to fake enthusiasm for a new car.
What if they gave you one?
Yeah, I guess so.
I would guess if you were in that video, you had the option of getting a free one.
You're surely. Right. I'd be like, oh my God,
I
love cars.
But I didn't feel overwhelmed by it. I feel much more over product placement in a movie or a TV series where there's no reason for it to be there.
Yes.
Somebody just admires somebody's watch or car or phone or something.
There's an Oreo robot.
There's an Oreo robot, exactly. God there's a Mountain damn. Dew vending machine robot. There's that episode, we've talked about this before, but there's that episode of Bones that I saw once where the characters are driving to a crime scene and they go to park and the car's got an automated parking system.
Yep.
Like where you can just reverse and it parks itself. And they spend like a minute and a half solidly singing the praises of this reverse parking, this automatic parking system in this particular model of car.
What is this?
It was atrocious.
What was it in?
Bones. Yeah.
That's not even a good show, probably.
It's all right.
I haven't seen it.
I don't know if it's still around.
Is her nickname Bones in that show? Have we talked about
that? Yes, it is.
Because she looks at bones.
Correct.
Great.
Yeah.
I found it a little bit distracting, and GL Prime also pointed this out.
Yes.
That Chris Pratt would have smelt like gasoline the entire movie.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. Or brake fluid or whatever it was.
I think it was gasoline.
Okay, right.
But I don't know. And there's another bit that I thought was quite good. Actually, someone written in and said this, and I haven't got your name here as well. The guy who, when he shuts down the Sphere ride, and they're like, boo! He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just work here.
Just my job, yeah.
I thought that was quite good.
Yeah.
I guess that's about it. Any bits that you liked? If you want to return, we kind of talked about the bits that we liked, but do you got another bit that you like?
I like the pterodactyl attack.
Okay.
It's pretty good. We haven't seen them be remorseless flying killers before. Oh, we did?
Yeah.
But they're not as good, though. They seem to have more character in this.
There's a little snappy one.
Yeah, the snappy one, the big snappy one.
What was that for?
Pterodactyls.
Yeah, the aviary or whatever.
They're looking at pterodactyls.
But you can't get in it. Like, what?
No, you probably...
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not like a butterfly, that, you know, Melbourne Zoo butterfly house. Like,
You know what? Probably, you can probably go in a little gyroscope buggy thing. There must have been a way in.
I'm sure there would have been. Yeah. But I mean,
there might have been two layers, right? There would have been the center layer where you go in and you view, and then there's the outer layer where that's where all the...
I'll remind you, that a helicopter crashed through it and it was one layer, like an egg.
Yeah, but that's where the... It doesn't matter. I'll explain it later.
I want a diagram. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay, yeah. I got some opinions here. Mm-hmm. I've picked out four.
Four opinions.
Yes.
Okay.
We got a lot, though.
Do we... And I have to agree or disagree with them?
I don't care.
Okay,
do
good.
Do what you want. Right. Jeff Forehand. You remember him?
Yeah.
Do you?
No. I don't remember the name Jeff Forehand.
Sure. Jurassic World was a blast in my opinion.
I remember Johnny Backhand.
Nickname, Johnny Backhand. It had a lot of plot holes or conveniences, and the characters in it weren't as memorable as the first film, but I think this is one of the best films of the summer.
I would agree
or disagree?
Agree.
Okay, so we're doing this.
Yes, we are.
Kush says, it wasn't a bad film, but it was just exactly what it was, although I felt let down by the CGI. I thought a lot of the Jurassic World buildings and enclosures, not really the dinosaurs, which are done very well, were very noticeably computer generated.
Disagree. Margaritaville. Go back to my previous point.
I mean, they built that though, for real.
Maybe it was a CGI
was that Avery real?
Who knows?
We'll never know.
We'll never know, exactly.
What
disagree.
What if they built in your imaginary second layer?
Oh, yeah. So good.
James says...
So safe.
Oh, sorry. Kush also says that I called the trap where the Indominus Rex
you did,
escapes.
Yeah, I did. Absolutely, you did.
He says, well done. You correctly guessed a thing about a movie. I did, didn't I?
Check it off. There we go.
I've actually only got three here. I thought that was the fourth one, but that was the third one.
Disagree.
Sam says, Jurassic World had some sweet corporate satire and commentary on how animals interact, but about half an hour into the film, it gets thrown out the window for dumb, dumb, dumb fights. And I loved every second of it.
Agree.
So yeah, I think all in all, it was the sequels to Jurassic Park. It was the fourth movie in the franchise, and its title was slightly different from the first Jurassic Park movie and the
others. Disagree.
It was 50% different than the first film.
Close enough.
In terms of title.
In terms of word, number of words.
Yeah, number of words,
in terms of they
letters,
both had two words, agree. Okay, right, good.
I guess that'll do it, though. Should we move on to our favourite segment of the show?
Yes.
Let's just pad this out till we can leave.
That's my favourite.
What are we reading?
What are we going to read?
I'm doing the thing.
What are we reading today? Oh, good, yeah. Tell you what I read, and by read I mean watched.
Yep.
Wait, theme song.
Nah, I probably put it in already.
You probably put it in. Put it in twice.
I'm doing the thing.
What are we reading today? I watched Pitch Perfect 2.
What'd you think?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, really?
Really liked it.
Yeah?
And then later I went and I watched Pitch Perfect 1. Not as good. Sequel's better.
Well, see, I've heard...
This is the week of sequels being better.
I've seen the first one, which I liked from memory.
Yep.
But I've heard that if you've seen the first one, then you see the second one, you're like, oh, well, this isn't as good.
I guess you'd probably be right. The second one is clearly, like, going back and watching the second one and then the first one.
Yeah.
The second one is clearly the first one, but more.
Yep.
So I'm glad I saw them in the order that I did.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
In the way that Every Which Way But Loose is not as good as Every Which Way You Can. Any which way you can.
Correct.
Yeah, go on.
Precisely.
Comes up a lot.
Of the three movies I saw at the cinema last week.
Yep.
Spy, Entourage, Pitch Perfect 2. Pitch Perfect 2 was the best one. So maybe we should have done an episode on that.
Maybe.
Probably not though.
No.
That was pretty good. Also last
record
week,
low numbers for Entourage podcast.
Really?
Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, it's about the same. Probably the same. Also last week, we were talking about like the massive number of superhero movies that are going to come out in the next few years.
Yep.
And I pointed out the anomaly that there was going to be a Harbinger and a Bloodshot movie, like two Valiant Comics movies.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like, why is that happening? And so I went and I read the new Harbinger series.
And?
Like the reboot. It's really good.
Oh, so maybe...
So now it makes perfect sense. It's a reboot of Harbinger, which was a series that came out in 1994.
Yeah.
So it's very reminiscent of stuff that's come out since then.
The very year after Jurassic Park.
Oh, we've linked it all together. So it's kind of a... It's a bit Runaways, and it's a bit kind of some other stuff.
Comics.
Yeah, some other comics.
Yeah.
But you know, when you think about it, Runaways... Because it's a guy who... He's got incredible psychic powers, and then he's taken in by... like this billionaire who also has these powers to form this the Harbinger, you know, as part of the Harbinger Foundation.
Yeah. Where
he develops the powers for various nefarious purposes,
mm.
and he figures out that this guy's a bad guy. He goes on the run. He takes some people with him, kind of thing. So it's a bit Gen 13, and it's kind of, you know, Runaways and stuff like that.
Okay,
but of course this came out in 1994, which was prior to all that stuff. So you know. But it's, okay. it's a real good
So
read.
Would you say recommend the old ones or the new ones?
I'd recommend the new ones.
You're big on that, aren't you, this week?
Honestly, it's a bit Supreme Power.
Okay.
But again, that came out after the original Harbinger, so, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's real good. It's real right. nice.
I'll check it out.
I'm sure I read something else as well, but I can't remember what it is.
Well, I can say a thing.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is an article on Cracked.
Oh, yes.
I mean, a lot of people know this, but I feel like not enough people know this.
Oh, also, I said I was going to read the new Midnighter. I did. It's good.
Which was Midnighter again?
Midnighter is... He's gay Batman, basically.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, you brought that up. Yep.
Yeah.
The tagline, gay Batman.
Gay Batman. Yeah, it's good fun, good action, good art. It's great. Sweet. Yeah.
Excellent. So there's an article on Cracked called Five Ways Batman's True Creator Got Screwed Out of His Legacy.
Oh, yeah. And Bill Finger.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, a lot of people don't know this, but Bob Kane, essentially, who's mostly credited for the creation of Batman.
He's almost 100. In every Batman piece of media, it's required that it says at the start somewhere, Batman created by Bob Kane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But obviously...
There's a lot of contention over how much he actually created.
And look, according to this article and various other things that I've read kind of over the years, Bob Kane kind of came up with a name and his initial concept for Batman is nothing like what Batman ended up being.
Correct.
And Bill Finger did most of it and he came up with the dead parents and the costume and his motivations and a whole bunch of stuff.
Yes.
And got zero credit for it.
Correct.
And went to his grave with zero credit. But now they've started to kind of put his name back on things and whatever, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
So basically, I think people should read that. And there's a good starting point, I guess, to Bill Finger and how he's, you know, kind of got kind of screwed out of billions of dollars.
As happened back in the day. Yeah.
Exactly.
Here's a
picture of Bob Kane and Michael Keaton on the set of Batman 89.
Bob Kane has got a sweet trench coat.
He looks like a Batman or Dick Tracy villain.
Absolutely he does. Yeah. He's very Technicolor, that guy. Yeah.
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 So... What a dickhead.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's dead.
Oh, actually, here's another thing that I read.
Mm-hmm.
I read some of the Big Trouble in Little China comic book.
Oh, really? Series.
It's really good.
Is it new?
It is. That's a couple of years ago, maybe, okay. I think.
Is it like a follow-up or is it?
Yeah, it is a follow-up. It's a follow-up. Like, it starts immediately after Big Trouble in Little China ends.
Yeah.
And he's going on some adventures and there's also some flashbacks to stuff that happened prior to Big Trouble in Little China. And it's written by John Carpenter.
Oh.
And so the Jack Burton character, it's dead on.
Oh, excellent.
So it's really fun.
Well, I know The Rock said, listen, don't worry about Big Trouble in Little China.
Uh-huh. I got this.
We're going to get John Carpenter.
Okay, cool.
And John Carpenter's like, what?
Right.
So he apparently does not know anything about that.
Oh, okay.
But that's good.
Mm.
I mean, not necessarily to direct, but I think you want to have him on board.
As a consultant
or something.
Yeah,
like the same way you not necessarily want Sam Raimi to direct Evil Dead, but you want him having a hand in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You want him back for Spider-Man 4.
We got one from Kevin Pierre, though.
Yes.
He just finished the series Sense8. And it was bloody amazing.
It's on Netflix right now, yeah.
Mates, it was honestly one of the best pieces of television I've seen to date, and it was really inclusive and diverse and quite a ride all the way through. I want to know if you blokes had seen it and would you do a review on it or just share your wonderful opinions? A lot of people have tweeted in saying you should watch Sense8. So I might not have time this week, but no, I'm definitely going to check that out.
Mm.
It sounds really, really good. It sounds like Heroes, but good.
Yeah, it sounds like Heroes, but no powers so much.
Yeah.
There's one power, thread running through it that there are these eight people that can all experience each other's thoughts and emotions and et cetera across vast distances.
Yep.
I don't know anything about it more than that.
Daryl Hannah's in it.
Daryl Hannah's in it.
I think so. Is that right?
Daryl Hannah.
Yeah. That might not be true.
Yeah. It's probably not true.
I'll just edit that out if it's not true.
Great. And you'll seem like a genius by omission.
That about does it, though, for what we're reading this week.
We've nailed it this week.
We have, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Time for some letters.
I'm ready.
Hey, Nick and James.
Did we get any letters themes, by the way, this week?
Oh, no, we didn't, because I put my foot down.
No, we said reggae.
Oh, yeah, we did too. But then I said I wasn't going to play it. Why would people make something?
Right. Okay, how about this, guys? If you send in a letters theme that is, I'm going to say reggae again because we didn't get reggae. Maybe somebody's working on their reggae masterpiece, and if I change genres, they'll have to throw it away and start again.
Yep.
So if you want to send in a letters theme for this show that is somehow reggae themed, email it to us and I'll play it on my phone. Like, okay. Like into the microphone. So you won't have to do any editing. It'll
that
be live.
That sounds amazing.
Yes.
Maybe send Mason a tweet to let him know you've sent it through
great,
as well.
Yeah.
All right. All right, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, letters, by the way, some people miss out. If you want to send us an email, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, because a lot of people tweet in about that. And a lot of time I don't answer.
Sure.
Because I'm,
You're busy.
I'm not that busy. Yeah.
Great.
Hey, Nick and James.
Oh, hey.
Chris from Canada here. Super excited about Star Wars The Force Awakens this year, and I have a story for you that I feel you and your listeners may sympathize with.
Oh, boy.
My dad took me to see Star Wars in 1977 when I was 5 years old, and of course it became my entire life. It was probably the most amazing thing that could have happened to a kid my age, and I've remained a lifelong fan of the original trilogy. The Empire Strikes Back only deepened my childhood mania for the franchise, and in 1983, at the age of 11, I stood poised to complete what was surely to be an epic rite of passage. Pause for
killing
effect.
A man. Finding a dead body in the woods with all your friends after you walk down the train line and you on the train, and then the train comes and you got to dodge after the train.
Get off, get out
and
of the
then
way.
You got to walk, swim through a swamp, but then you got a leech on your dick.
Look out, it's Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep.
But 80s Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, dangerous.
Yeah. In 83, the term spoiler was not part of the vernacular. That's probably true, actually.
Yeah.
It was common practice at my house. My family was heading out to leave the radio on as my mom was convinced it would deter burglars. My mom used to do that as well. Did your mom used to do that?
No, we had one of those lamps on a timer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just every time you went out.
Correct.
So as my brother and I were pulling on our coats, excited to complete our destinies, my mother flipped the switch on the stereo, and at that very moment, a local DJ was talking about Return of the Jedi. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Return of the Jedi. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, that would be very ironic.
Yes. So he basically said, so if you want to save yourself $5, Darth Vader is Luke's father, Princess Leia is Luke's sister, Han Solo gets unfrozen, Yoda dies, and Darth Vader gets killed in the end.
Wow.
I know, right?
That is brat-a-tat. That is brutal. Wow, what a mean DJ.
I know. I stood there for what seemed like an eternity with one sleeve of my coat dangling, my jaw hanging open, and staring in a broken and catatonic state. He really paints a picture of that, doesn't he?
That's great. Yeah.
Well written. Some part of me is forever that 11-year-old kid dying on the inside. I've never truly recovered. I'm a pretty laid-back person, but I ever find that guy, even 32 years later, I'd punch him in his stupid face.
And fair enough.
That is ridiculous, right?
You know what else?
Yeah.
A lamp on a timer wouldn't spoil Return of the Jedi for you, would it?
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
His question is, though, have either of you had a nuclear spoiler like that you could never forgive? We should say spoiler alert before we spoil something.
I guess so. I didn't know how Lord of the Rings ended.
Yeah.
Until like the day before I went to see the final one.
So you'd waited the whole time.
Yeah, like I'd waited literally, I don't know, a couple of decades and I didn't know how it ended. And then somebody's like, spoiler alert for Lord of the Rings, Gollum bites Frodo's finger
Who
off.
Who told you that? Do I know?
No, I think maybe it was on a podcast or I read it or something. Like I read it on Twitter or something.
And in 2003.
Oh, whenever it was, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, might have been like a Something Awful forum post or something like that.
God.
And it was like Gollum bites off Frodo?
Frodo, yeah.
Frodo's finger and falls into Mount Doom. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. There's no way. That's so stupid. There's no way that'd be how it ends. And then it got in my head and I'm like, maybe that is how it ends. And that's how it ended. And as the movie kept drawing to a close, I'm like,
you saw all the pieces lighting
like,
up.
Oh, yeah. Gollum sharpening his teeth. Frodo keeps waving his finger about suggestively. You know, and I'm like, oh no, this is how it's going to end. Boom. Ruined.
That's really annoying. Yeah. I mean, you're not a massive Lord of the Rings fan.
No, it wouldn't have mattered.
But still, yeah. I had the big Game of Thrones season one spoiler.
Oh, yes.
I'm even reluctant to say it. Basically, there's a character death.
Yes.
I had that ruined in, I think it was a comment on IGN where somebody just written below just a random article this happens to this person.
Oof.
And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Right, right.
That was like, what, 2-3 years ago?
Sure.
It's happened to me other times, but I find a lot
that
of...
That one's hurt the most.
I think so. It's what I remember, at least. Mm. I think a lot of the time, trailers spoil a lot for me. I feel like, look, I've done a whole video series on it, and I'm not always right, but I'm pretty good at looking at that and going, well, I know how that's going to go.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not, again, I'm not always right. I'm often wrong. Mm. But, twists don't normally get me nowadays.
Yeah, totally.
Either because somebody will spoil them or because you can see them coming. What about the Sixth Sense twist?
No, I got...
The twist was that career sharply declined.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, something that I didn't talk about in Entourage last week.
Yeah.
And again, we're spoiling this because who cares. At one point, Haley Joel Osment's character produces a gun and puts it on the table. At no point does anyone fire a gun in that movie.
That's the rule.
You can't produce a... Yeah, exactly. Chekhov's gun. You can't produce a gun in like this Act 1 and then not use it by Act 3.
That was the overhanging sense of dread that we felt in that movie then.
Probably.
That's why.
It's probably when are they going to fire that gun?
Well, there you go. Mm. I can't think of any others. I saw somebody spoil The Sixth Sense for someone else when I was at school, which was pretty hilarious to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, no matter how many people call you dickheads, you'll never come close to the piece of human garbage you killed my Star Wars. Love the show. It's easily the best thing on the internet. Cheers, Chris from Canada. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Great
story. Thanks for not exploring anywhere else on the internet to determine that that's not true, but thank you.
Yeah. Hello, Nick. This one says James and Nick, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. They're our names. Nailed it.
Recently, I attended Phoenix Comic Con in my Weekly Planet shirt in the hopes that I'd meet some other local fans. There is good news and bad news.
Oh, boy.
How many fans do you think Patricia met?
Two.
The bad news is that not a single person recognized the podcast.
Damn it!
Or either of your likenesses from the shirt.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yep.
The good news is that I wore the shirt to a speed dating session and almost every guy asked me about it. By the end of the speed dating session, I felt as if I was part of a guerrilla marketing campaign for the Weekly Planet podcast. After hearing of the increase in podcast downloads last week, I can confidently say that I'm responsible for a very small percentage of the new listeners. I seriously love the podcast. I'm happy to go to guerrilla market it wherever I go. Patricia from Phoenix, Arizona.
Absolutely. So, thank you for that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, if people could wear their Weekly Planet shirts.
Yes.
To like a lot of events and network with them. So important business meetings.
Business.
Funerals.
Yep. Wakes.
Anywhere where somebody
is
dead. Viking funerals.
Absolutely.
Like with a burning, like a burning barge.
Don't put it on the person who's being Viking funeral.
Yeah, because then.
What's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
It helps us in no way.
Unless you want to buy another one.
Yeah, that's fine then.
Yeah, then it's fine.
We're cool with that. Yeah. So yeah, that's great. Speed dating. There you go.
Hmm.
I wonder if that'd help or hinder.
Depends on what kind of shirt.
It's from Avery. Hey, James and Mason.
Wait, the Avery from Jurassic World?
Correct.
Okay, great.
They've got some schematics here that I'm going to explain.
Thank you, finally.
Hey, James and Mason, if you decide to read this on the show, I know it doesn't read these emails. What a dickhead.
Like, no, that's fair.
I have a question regarding Magneto's origin. I was wondering if I could get your guys' opinion on it. At some point...
Magnets.
Yeah,
next letter. No, continue.
At some point, won't Magneto's origin have to change? Because there is going to be a point in the future when it won't make any sense for him to be a Holocaust survivor anymore, unless they decide he's 163 years old and everyone just doesn't talk about it. If so, do you feel like it would really hurt the appeal / sympathetic nature of the character? What kind of origin do you think they could change it to? I'm only asking about Magneto specifically because his origin is locked to an actual real world event and as such is locked to a specific time period.
Yeah.
I'd like to the official death's head. If that's taken, I'll settle for the official death's head too.
Yeah, you can have that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
There's only a few. Like,
because even Captain America's not locked because he's a time traveler, essentially, sort of.
Oh, I see what you're saying. He's not, Well, he's not locked to his modern day. Like, he's not locked to the point where they thaw him out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Magneto is. Mm. I think, because I think they're going to have to keep Magneto at World War II.
Yeah.
There's a few that they're going to have to keep as.
The Punisher was a Vietnam vet. Oh, he still is, though.
He still is.
Yeah.
Like, the Punisher was a Vietnam vet. Then I think for a while they were like, made it kind of vague.
Yeah.
But now they've sort of... They've gone back to, like, his origin is that he was a Vietnam vet. He joined when he was very young. Like, he was too young to join, but he faked being 18, so he could join.
So muscular and crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And now he's like a man who must be...
He'd have to be 60 at least.
Yeah. So yeah. Now they portray, like, especially in like the Marvel Max Punisher series, they portrayed him as like a guy who was getting on in years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's a guy in real good shape who's spent a lot of years killing people.
Yeah.
And like, so he's
kind of slow but efficient.
Yeah. Not and his, slow, and his career as the Punisher sort of predated a lot of the modern other heroes.
Yeah.
Like even though Spider-Man chronologically appeared in comics first, they're now saying the Punisher existed before him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and he's been... killing people. He's been killing the mob for decades at this point, kind of thing.
So do you think that robs Magneto of his kind of appeal if you shift it?
Yeah, I think there's certain things, like especially war-related ones. Yeah, yeah. Like I think
like real-world.
Yeah, like I think the idea the Punisher was in world... Like, you know, horrible things happen in all wars.
Sure.
But I think the specific elements of his character... work best. They're best explained by the things that happened in the Vietnam War, like, you know, the massacres and the drugs and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the same with
Magneto,
with
registration and
the concentration and camps and all that sort of stuff. So I think with Magneto, they'll probably just make him an external, meaning he lives forever. Or like he'll get a.
I mean, Nick Fury's.
He's World War II. Yeah.
He's
on the Infinity Serum. They can just as easily say that Magneto has some of that as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they both went through the same Hydra Nazi supply depot or whatever, and they both like, yoink, but take some of this.
But do you think it would get to a point, let's say these are still popular in 100 years, and that's gone so many generations back and people kind of, they're not tied to it, so your grandfather didn't live through that.
Right.
Like would the shift happen then if these things are still popular?
That's a really good question.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to say no, and we'll be dead by then. So we can't be proven right or wrong in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Got him.
In your face.
The future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Just quickly before we go, Rob A. Collins, just want to shout out to him as well. He's doing the Weekly Planet Twitter. Yeah, so he's doing a really good job.
At the Weekly Planet. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he sent us the thing as well if we want to. Go on it. We've got the password.
Oh, cool.
We probably won't, but that's a really good thing to follow.
Yeah, totally.
Because he's good at updating and he'll answer questions. He's really, really good. He's just a good bloke.
He knows more about the show than we do.
He really does. Yeah. Ask him Avery-related questions.
Please.
What have I got here? Ali Peterson, Greg Davies, grab that gem. I don't know what that means. I mean, they're people that have written in, but I don't know why specifically.
Have they gotten tattoos?
I don't know.
Mm.
I could probably look in my emails. Do you want me to quickly look?
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
Oh, that's right. Greg Davies.
Oh, yes.
From The Inbetweeners.
Oh, yep.
You know who he is?
Yes.
He's the grumpy teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Ali Peterson, who sent in the Frank Abagnale grab that gem.
Oh, yes.
Sent in this.
What? Here we go. I'm ready.
Now, if you're not British or Australian, you probably don't know what this is, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, James. Hey, Nick.
Grab
that chair.
Yes! So good! We did it again!
We did!
Love it.
That's great.
Thank you, friend. Nice work.
So if you want to make celebrities say things that I want to say, he looked pretty jovial about that.
Yeah,
that
was
pretty
good. He loved it.
He's great. He's one of the best shows, the best things about that show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
From the
glad you didn't forget that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is this so familiar? But it says it's spelled out exactly what it is, and I still didn't get it. Ali Peterson, Greg Davies, grab that gem.
Yeah.
You'd think I would know what that meant. I wrote it like, God damn it. Anyway.
Look, we don't know what we're doing.
We really don't. Go to the Weekly Planet Twitter and ask them what we're doing. Ask Rob what we're doing.
He'll know.
Yeah. Where will people find us or whatever?
Oh, if they want to find us on the internet, they can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com and Facebook and Twitter. I'm at Wikipedia Brown.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies. I can go real close to the mic.
Going real close
We've
to the
never
mic.
Even experimented with this.
So intimate.
Yeah.
And if you want to throw a couple of bucks at the podcast a month, you can do it at patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies.
Correct.
Or if you want to listen, because we're talking about Jurassic World, if you want to watch Jurassic Park with our sweet commentary on it, you can go to theweeklyplanet.bandcamp.com. Yes. Wait, or is it Weekly Planet Pod?
It's Weekly Planet Pod.
Weeklyplanetpod.bandcamp.com. Yeah, you can find all our audio commentaries.
If you want to see a man who's sort of excited to watch Jurassic Park again and read IMDb trivia, and another man who's completely non-fussed by it,
one of our best.
yeah,
great.
Next week, something I don't know.
Something else. We'll do it. It'll be great. We'll all enjoy it.
Probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, grab that gem.
Grab that gem, you guys.
Say that? Am I allowed to say it anymore?
Say your
I don't like my catchphrase.
It's not the people have spoken. There's a t-shirt now. You have to say it.
Where's my biscotti?
Great. Bye, everyone.
I hate it. I don't like it. It really upsets me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.